Genesis chapter 49. This is an incredible, incredible story that we've been following in this last half of the book of Genesis. I needed this. This was selfish for me. I needed to learn how to forgive. You'd think I would have it figured out after all these years. But God has blessed me through preparing for this, and I hope it has blessed you as well. And so as we're now approaching the end of the story, there's two pieces of the story that we're going to see. There's the death of Joseph's father. His name is Jacob. And then after that, in chapter 50, there's the death of Joseph himself, in a lesson we're going to call the grand finale. And we saw this last week as Jacob was realized that he was dying. He starts bringing people in and saying his goodbyes. And so last week, he brought his two grandsons, two of his grandchildren in, Joseph's children. And he said goodbyes and spoke words of blessing over them. And so now, in that exact kind of idea and that exact theme, we continue, or we pick up our story now in chapter 49 of Genesis. And I'll begin reading verse 1. Then Jacob called his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you what shall happen to you in days to come. Assemble and listen, O sons of Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father." Then he speaks to them. We jump all the way to verse 28. "And all these are the tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them as he blessed them, blessing each with the blessing suitable to him. He gives his instructions for his burial." And then we read in the final verse of chapter 49, "When Jacob finished commanding his sons, he drew up his feet into the bed and breathed his last and was gathered to his people." So when you read this word blessing here, you can easily reach the wrong conclusion because we use the word differently than they use the word blessing in their day. And we talked about that a little bit last week. As a matter of fact, in your life groups, when you're working through this, and we're going to read some of it today, you're going to read this and go, these are not blessings, or at least some of these are not blessings. They kind of feel more like curses. And so it's important to understand that the word blessing, a better way to define it is when Jacob began speaking to his sons, he says, "Come around me, gather around me." He brings all his sons, they're standing around his bed, "that I may tell you what shall happen to you in the days to come." And so we talked about this last week, that a blessing in blessing his sons, this is a God-inspired revelation into the future. These weren't just Jacob saying, "I have some nice things I want to say to you guys before I'm out of here." This is God through Jacob speaking to his sons. And as we saw in one of the final verses here in this chapter, each of the blessings that he spoke to his son, it says they were suitable to each of his sons. NIV translates that they were appropriate to each of them. So now I don't have time to read all of this morning, this whole chapter. I want you to encourage you to do that in your life groups and really unpack. There's a whole lot that's here. I just want to give you three bullet points from this chapter, and I'm going to show you how they draw from this chapter. Number one, the life you live is the legacy you will leave. The life you live is the legacy you leave. Number two, we're going to see in this chapter, you can change your legacy by changing your life. And then finally, we'll see from this chapter, you can change your life through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, just for the point of full disclosure, point number one is something I got from someone else. And I decided, rather than trying to reword it and make it my own, I thought, you know what? I'll just use the way this guy said that, and I'll just not take credit for it. So don't be impressed with point number one. Now, point number two are both my points. You're welcome to be impressed with those. They both come from point number one, and they both are drawn out of this chapter. I think the first thing, though, since we're using the word legacy, we need to understand, what do we mean by the word legacy? Because it's really not a word that we use too often in our day and time. It's not so commonly used, and it has so many nuanced definitions. I'm going to give you my understanding of how I will define legacy in this particular lesson. We could define legacy as the long-lasting impact your life has into the future. Or it could be the well-known saying that we have, actions have consequences. You see, it's really important. We're going to see here that your life is not like lived on an island in isolation and all that you do only impacts you into the future. Oh no, it has an incredible ripple effect and impact on many other people that are surrounding you and many other people following your life after you were long gone. We see that here in this chapter. We could also say that basically a legacy is the same idea of you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. So let's notice how we see this in chapter 49. So Jacob has gathered his 12 sons around his bed. He's speaking words of blessings over them. And if you know the birth order in which each one of these are come, you'll notice that he starts with the firstborn and he starts working down all the way through the rest of in their exact birth order. And so he starts with Reuben. And so you can just imagine that Reuben has walked into this setting. He's standing with his 11 brothers. He's at his father's bed and he's thinking, he's excited. He's thrilled because he is the firstborn. And he has in his mind that idea we talked about last week that was part of the culture of that time. It was a law of primogeniture where the firstborn, he gets everything. The firstborn at least, or if he doesn't get everything, he gets most everything. He gets the greatest position of authority and the greatest inheritance. It's like he's walking in, the will is going to be read, and he's going to be first. And so, Jacob says in verse 3, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, and the firstfruits of my strength. Preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power. And so Reuben's going, yeah, that's me. Bring it on. This is what I deserve. But then verse 4, his father continues, unstable as water, you shall not have preeminence because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. And then look at this. He goes from you, second person singular, to he. It's almost like he looks up from Reuben and he looks to the other sons. And he speaks in third person singular. He went up to my couch. So here Jacob is referring back to an event that happened, if I calculate it correctly, at least 20 years ago. And this is when Jacob had four wives. And so, no, I do not believe polygamy is according to the will of God, but that was just the situation in their home and that, at that time. And of his four wives, Jacob's favorite wife, we talked about this, was Rachel, and she died. And in his grief, it's as though Reuben took advantage of this distraction of his dad grieving, and he goes to one of the other wives, not his mother, Leah, but he goes to Bilhah, one of his dad's wives, and he sleeps with her on his dad's couch. And Reuben's probably hoping that nobody saw that, nobody knows about it, and nobody many thousands of years later would be talking about in a sermon. And he certainly probably was hoping that even if his dad might have heard about it, that dad is now so old that he probably forgot about it in his old age, but he hadn't forgotten. So I was just thinking, like, this is really awkward. With all the other brothers, could we not have done this just the two of us? Or could we have just not said, you know, that was a long time ago. He slept with my wife on my couch. Those were dad's dying words. Look, Reuben was the firstborn. And he had the firstborn inheritance. Thus, he was going to be given the place of preeminence in his family. And here Jacob tells him, you shall not have preeminence. Done. Gone, firstborn son Reuben. There's one thing that stands out in your life that defines you, and you will and will be the legacy, Reuben, that you leave. All right, Reuben. All right, who's next? So you can imagine, man, what's he going to say to me when he gets to me? So he moves on. in verses 5 to 7, and he bunches up two sons together, Simeon and Levi. Notice what he says to them. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Good start. And that's where it stops. Weapons of violence are their swords. Let my soul not come into their counsel. O my glory, be not joined to their company. For in their anger they killed men, and in their willfulness they hamstrung oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. It's kind of like, well, thanks, Dad. Like, those are your dying words, the last words to me. This is a hard pill to swallow. But again, he's doing the same thing as he did with Reuben. He's reaching far back, more than 20 years ago, into the past. It's a story we looked at in Genesis chapter 34, when Simeon and Levi's sister Dinah was raped. And so instead of letting justice play out as it should, Simeon and Levi, they weren't having any of that. They went to the town where the offense occurred, and with their swords, they indiscriminately killed every single person in that town more than 20 years ago. Well, that was a long time ago. Did we just kind of try to forget about that and pretend like it didn't happen? No. Actions have consequences. You reap what you sow. Simeon and Levi, the lives you have lived will be the legacy you will leave. And not only for you, but he says even far beyond into the lives of those who will follow you. Okay, who's next? Like, I'd be saying, I'm good, Dad. I'm good. So let's skip now and move to verse 22. And you're going to see this completely in reverse as he speaks to Joseph. Verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, a fruitful bough by a spring. His branches run over the well. The wall. The archers bitterly attacked him, shot at him, and harassed him severely, yet his bow remained unmoved. His arms were made agile by the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God of your father, who will help you, by the Almighty, who will bless you with the blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that crouch beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of your father are mighty beyond the blessings of my parents, up to the bounties of the everlasting hills. May they be on the head of Joseph and on the brow of him who was set apart from his brothers. So did you see the difference between what was said to Joseph and Reuben and Levi? Six times the word blessing is used in reference to Joseph, making the point, you reap what you sow. Like with Reuben, Levi, and Simeon, you sow evil and unrighteousness, you will reap it. And then as we have followed this beautiful story in the life of Joseph, you sow goodness and righteousness, you will reap it. The life you live is the legacy you will leave. Now, when I saw that, my first question is, wait a minute. What about forgiveness? Like, Eddie, that's the theme. Joseph, choosing forgiveness in God's sovereign plan. Where does forgiveness come in with Reuben, Levi, and Simeon? I thought they're forgiven. Why is he saying this to them? I'll try to explain this with the embarrassing personal illustration. So I've shared my testimony with you guys a number of times, and so it won't be a shock to a lot of you, but when I was a teenager, I used to smoke cigarettes and a lot of other things as well. And by the time I was 18, I was smoking about 2 packs a day. And that's not, well, cool guy. It was horrible. And it was expensive. It was a terrible habit. 40 years later, there's a time when God changed my life. And I said, that's it, I'm done, no more. 40 years later, the other day, I was at the doctor. and going through all the various questions. Does this hurt? Does that hurt? What about this? What about that? He said, Eddie, have you ever smoked? I said, yeah, but it doesn't matter. It was like 40 years ago. It's a long time ago. He says, no. He says, that could come back. You could get lung cancer from that. You could die. Well, thank you, doctor. So I get lung cancer. I don't, but let's say I do. Do I say to God, wait a minute, I thought you forgave me? He did. I have the hope of heaven, but that does not mean I'm guaranteed not to get lung cancer while living on this earth. There's consequences, though I'm forgiven. There are many people I have met in prison that have committed horrible crimes and have given their lives to Jesus. They are forgiven, but once they're forgiven, it's not, here's your get out of jail free card. Sure, they are forgiven of the consequences of eternal death in hell forever. That's removed. But it doesn't mean they don't experience on this earth the consequences of their past lives, such as jail time. So here's the reason I say that. When we read this about Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, and Joseph, I don't think it's like, Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, you guys did this, you're going to hell. Joseph, you were really pretty decent, you're going to heaven. I believe that what we see here, we're reading about consequences here on this earth based on the life they lived. And none of them can say, wait a minute, that's not fair. Because you remember, it said that Jacob gave them blessings or final words into the future that were appropriate or suitable to each one of them. You see, the legacy, the life you live is the legacy you will leave. And so some of you are feeling pretty good when I say that. Because you haven't been perfect, but there's been in a sense where you've been living pretty decent lives and you're feeling pretty good about the legacy that will live. But some of you other guys are feeling pretty depressed about that statement because you realize you have not been living a life that's going to leave what you believe would be a good legacy. And that's why the sermon doesn't stop here. There's good news. Secondly, I see in this chapter, you can change your legacy by changing your life. I want to show you this with two individuals in this story. First of all, with Levi. So Levi's standing there and said, Levi, man, you got angry. You killed a bunch of people with the sword. You are cursed. We're going to be scattered. It's just bad, bad, bad. So that's pretty grim. But then do you remember the story in the book of Exodus when Moses came down from the mountain receiving the commandments from God? And the Israelites had been going crazy in idolatry. And Moses is burning up over that. God is angry over that. And Moses says, not having any of this. And here is a line. Whoever is with me, come over here. Whoever is on my side, come to me. And there we read all the sons of Levi gathered around him. I believe that was a defining moment for the descendants of Levi. When they drew a line in the sand, they said, regardless of the past mistakes of our family and of our lives, we're not going to be defined by that any longer. We're breaking the cycle of disobedience today, and in this moment, today, we are fully devoting ourselves to God. There was a change. And so we see, though they did not receive the inheritance of the land that they could have received, they were scattered, just as Jacob mentioned that they would be. But you know and understand in the story, they were given the honor of serving as priests in the temple and in the presence of God. That's what they're remembered for. They changed their lives, and thus they changed their legacy. And then you see this also in the story of Jacob's son Judah. Let's look at it in verses 8 through 12 in chapter 49. Judah, your brother shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's. Register that. Keep that in mind. Lion's cub. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He stooped down. He crouched as a lion. There it is again. And as a lioness who dares rouse him. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until tribute comes to him, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Now, if you know Scripture well, you know that that is covered up. All of that is covered up with incredible messianic prophecies speaking about and prophesying the coming of Jesus. You guys talk about the various phrases in your life groups that are pointing to that. But if you know the story of Judah, you would say there's no one of all the brothers, he is the least deserving of anyone who should get this blessing of, I want you, you're going to be the one through whom the Messiah, the Christ, is going to come. Do you remember the story of Judah? Judah was the one that said, hey, I have an idea. Let's take brother Joseph, the guy that we hate and are jealous of, and let's sell him into slavery. That's what got this story going. It was Judah's idea. And you remember, what was it in chapter, I think, 38, the story of Judah, where he slept with his daughter-in-law, thinking she was a prostitute? Like a real stand-up guy. It's like, if we're going to choose someone to be the one through whom the Messiah comes, it's got to be Joseph. Joseph is the guy, not Judah. Do you remember what we studied in the story of forgiveness in Genesis chapter 44? Remember what happened to Judah? There was an incredible penitent change of heart in Judah. For 20 years, he lied to his dad, didn't care that his dad thought that Joseph was dead and gone. He didn't care about that. And now, in chapter 44, he can't bear the fact of his father. He's changed. He loves his dad. He can't bear the fact of his father carrying that same feeling about Benjamin. The jealousy and the hatred that Judah used to have, it was gone here in chapter 44. And in humility, he said to Joseph, who he didn't know was Joseph, would you take my brother, would you take me and let my brother Benjamin go free? Take me as a slave. When earlier it was like, here, you take my brother and we'll sell him as a slave. This was an incredible change that occurred in the heart, in the life of Judah. And remember this in chapter 45, when Joseph saw that in his brother Judah, that's what he just broke. And he began to cry. And he embraced his brothers in that amazing moment of forgiveness. This was a defining moment for Judah when he said, that's what I used to be, but I'm done. No more. Judah changed his life and thus changed his legacy. And now is remembered as the one through whom God worked to bring the Messiah into the world. Do you connect the dots of this? Do you understand that regardless of the past of your family, that doesn't have to define who you are? Regardless of the past mistakes that you have made in your life, regardless of the mess you've made, regardless of the hurt that you have caused, and all the consequences that follow, this story, as we see of Levi and Judah, show us that you can change. It's possible. You can change your legacy by changing your life. But there's one final point that you can't miss. Number three, you can change your life by faith in Jesus Christ. This is super important, because when I say you can change your life, some of you are thinking, I can't. I tried that and failed. And so you're just living in this resignation of your fate. This is who I am. This is the way I was raised. This is the baggage. And this is the way that is always going to be. But you see, these words of blessing that were spoken to Judah are pointing beyond Judah. They're pointing beyond Jacob. They're pointing beyond Joseph. As a matter of fact, they're pointing beyond us. They're saying, don't look at yourself. And these words that were spoken to Judah pointing us to Jesus, where change is achieved. And so we see in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, in the very last book in the Bible, we hear an echo, or we see a reflection that's pointing us back to Genesis chapter 49. And this is the incredible words. This is the Apostle John. And here in chapter 5, he's weeping and wailing because he realizes that he's been given this scroll that reveals the wisdom and the will of God for God's people. It's a revelation. It's in a scroll, but no one is worthy to open the scroll. And John is weeping over this. And John is told in this vision by an elder, "Weep no more. Behold, the lion." There it is, of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered, so he can open the scroll and its seven seals. Though none of us are worthy, though none of us are competent and capable to change and somehow reposition ourselves before God, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the descendant of Judah, Jesus Christ, he's worthy. He's mighty. He has conquered, doing for us what we could never do on our own. And he's done it in two ways: by taking our sins we could never overcome to the cross, and just taking those consequences and removing them from us, and then empowering us and giving us the gift of the Spirit within to change our lives, to transform us in ways that we could never do on our own. Changing our lives through faith in Jesus Christ, meaning we're trusting him to do what we can't do on our own. And thus changing our legacy now and into eternity. So really, we see here in chapter 49, especially his words to Judah, we realize Joseph is a main character in our story. But he's not the main character. Jesus is the main character of the Bible story. Embedded here within this amazing story of choosing forgiveness in God's sovereign plan, in these words of Jacob to his 12 sons, is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is God's word to us today. Would you stand as we pray? Father, there was so much there. I'm struggling to know even where to start in prayer. And I'm just trusting now that even when I struggle to pray, the Holy Spirit, you know the words to speak to each individual here. And you know what they specifically needed to hear. So I'm just trusting in this quiet moment, you'll speak to each one of us. And Father, if there's a need for any of us here, and I'm sure there are, for there to be a defining moment today where we make a decision to turn to you and say no more to the past. Oh God, show us that and embolden us with courage and strength to that. Show us what those changes are that are needed in our lives. And we thank you for the forgiveness that comes from the stuff that is we find ourselves so burdened with. And we thank you for the empowering of the Holy Spirit that helps us to change in ways we could never do on our own. But Father, speak to us. We're going to continue in prayer. We're going to offer this song in prayer. But if you've come this morning with a heavy heart and you need someone to pray with you, I just want to encourage you. Our shepherds are here. They will step out from where they're seated. And they may come to you anyway, if knowing you need prayer. But reach out to them or reach out to someone who can pray for you. Or if you're here and you know someone this morning that needs your hug, needs to be told that you love them and needs your prayers, I want to encourage you to be courageous enough to step out from where you are and go and pray with them. But if this moment and this morning you recognize that you made to make a decision today, as the Levites did, said, "This is it. I'm fully in. I'm devoting myself to Jesus Christ." I'm going to position myself in the back of the auditorium, and if you would like to come and to pray with me, and if you'd like to give your life to Christ in baptism, I'll be there to talk to you. Let's continue in prayer now.